The season of Lent is a time of Christian reflection set aside for prayer, fasting, and giving. When we as a church participate in the season of Lent, however, the primary goal is not necessarily to spend as much time as possible kneeling or on our faces prostrate or beating our chests, repenting and asking God for forgiveness. Although there is merit sometimes in humbly bewailing our manifold sins and wickednesses. Trust me, I work with youth. Rather, this should be a time that we as the family of God make a journey toward renewing our baptismal vows. From the earliest years of the church, Easter was not simply a day to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but it was a day that we came together to bring others into the family of God through baptism. And Lent was a time of preparation for that. Those people who were preparing to be baptized were called catechumens. Those people spent a solid amount of time outside of the normal church service going through what I might describe as Christian boot camp. Rather than participating in the normal mass, catechumens would be ushered out after the scripture readings, not even allowed to see the actions that take place in the Eucharist. Their first time coming to the table of the Lord was at their baptism at Easter, and Easter was the only time to be baptized. Though most churches, including our own, do not have such a strict catechumenate these days, we still have the season of Lent, a time set aside to remember our basic Christian beliefs and to practice the rededication of our lives to God. And that's what this morning is set aside for, too, our own rededication to God. Today, we do that in two different ways, by offering up our collected tithes in the stewardship campaign, and at the 9 o'clock service, by offering to God the children who graduated from the communion class. But first, a word from our sponsors. It's a gospel story many of us have probably already heard before. Martha's in the kitchen cooking up something. Jesus is sitting around with some of his friends and his followers. Starry-eyed Mary is at his feet making some sort of extravagant gesture of faith. Judas is standing in the corner with his arms crossed, scrutinizing the actions of everybody around him. Does this sound familiar to you at all? I mean, it should, to most of us at least, those of us who read the Bible. And you are allowed to read the Bible in your own time. You know that, right? Okay. The Mary-Martha-Lazarus combination, those stories show up in all four Gospels. And I'm quite positive that they come up in at least a few of our conversations during our church year. I remember going to a women's retreat a long time ago where we were split into the Marys and the Marthas, the doers and the dreamers. It seems like these characters are really common in our Christian narrative. And it also appears that today's gospel is not that much different from any of these normal stories that we've heard. That is, until you read into this story the meaning of the names. This small factor, the meaning of the names, changes the course of the game altogether. So let's look at that. Of course, at first there's Jesus. Now, the name Jesus is a shortened version of the name Joshua, and Jesus' name simply means the Lord is salvation. Are you surprised by that? Good, okay. So let's move on. Next, we see that Jesus, whose name is the Lord is salvation, is coming to the home of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus's name means God is my help. God is my help. Help indeed, since just a few weeks prior, this man had been dead and rotting and finally laid to rest in a tomb for 4 days and resurrected by the Son of God. God is my help. Next, we meet Martha. Now, Martha's working away in the kitchen to feed and serve everybody. But Martha's name means something that we might be surprised about. Martha's name means one who becomes bitter. One who becomes bitter. That root mar, present in both Mary and Martha's name, means bitter or bitterness. So while Martha's name means one who becomes bitter, Mary's name means bitterness as in a bitter longing for something. Like the commentary that I read said it was a bitter longing for a child, a bitter longing for something, just like a barren woman longs for a child. So are you following me so far? So this man named Salvation and his friends walk into the home of Bitter, Bitter, and Helped. Sounds like a really bad law firm, doesn't it? And there those people are served. Martha is serving in the normal Martha mode. She's doing the dishes in the kitchen. She's making the food. And Mary is serving in the normal Mary mode. She's taking the risk of letting her hair down in front of a bunch of men, something that doesn't happen in normal biblical times. And some say she's also foolishly pouring out a year's worth of wages of perfume onto the feet of a man that she loves. They're both serving. Yet it is not out of bitterness or obligation that these two women are serving. Rather, it's out of gratitude for a life restored to them in the resurrection of Lazarus. No, actually, instead, the one who is bitter is Judas. Not necessarily a semi-stranger at whose house Jesus is crashing. Not necessarily anybody whose name means bitter or I need help. But a man who has journeyed with Christ, someone who is close, someone who has seen the daily miracles that Jesus has done firsthand, somebody whose name means God be praised. So maybe there is something to learn from this story that so often pops up in our narrative. In a season where we are journeying together with Christ and each other towards Christ's death and resurrection, toward our annual renewal of faith at the baptismal font, perhaps we too need to hear that it is not the one who lived with Jesus, whose name means praise, who saw the accounts of the miracles, who could have spoken what happened in Jesus' daily life and work. It was not that man who is the display of true discipleship, but rather the one whose name was bitter, the one whose name meant longing, the one whose name meant I need help. It is a motley group of people who have been in touch with their hurts, who have been in touch with their pains, who have been in touch with death itself, who have been in touch with their shadows. It is this group of people who have sprung from the depths of realizing how much they need God, who are able to freely display discipleship, who are able to freely give of themselves and dedicate their lives to God. And I think this is an important message for us today. Oftentimes when we think of offering ourselves to God, of dedicating ourselves to God, we might think that we have to do it in a way that looks really pretty, or in a way that looks really beautiful, or in a way that doesn't show that we are feeling anything. We ought to praise God and ignore our bitterness. We ought to love God and ignore our pain. What we are told today, however, is that God doesn't want that kind of dedication. God wants all of us. God doesn't just want our praise, God wants our bitterness. God doesn't just want our tithes. Can you believe I'm saying that from the pulpit? God doesn't just want our tithes. God doesn't just want our gifts. God doesn't just want our love. God wants our openness. God wants our vulnerability. God wants our anger. God wants our pain. God wants our foolishness. God wants us to both help, but also acknowledge that we need help. God wants us to both give, but also learn how to open our hearts and our hands and our minds to receive. Today is a special day for the St. Paul's family. Today we celebrate our dedication to God by the giving of our tithes, by the giving of our pledge forms. During this past stewardship season, we have been learning about the importance of just one yes. That's what this joy banner stands for, just one yes, when it comes to thinking about offering our gifts to God. Today, I want to encourage you to search through your life, through your pains, through your panics, through your bitterness and your weakness, through the places where God can only help you. And look for those places where you could offer God a yes, an affirmative, a dedication. Perhaps it actually is in turning in a pledge card. Those are located in your pews if you forgot yours today, wink, wink. But perhaps also it means thinking about the places in your life where you carry a resentment and offering up a space for forgiveness. Perhaps it means thinking about the walls that have built up around your heart and opening up a space to let God's love in. Perhaps it simply means claiming your place at the table of our Lord, claiming your place in the family of God, or reclaiming your place in the family of God. Giving of ourselves to God doesn't necessarily mean turning in a pledge form, although that is one way to do it. What it really means is opening up room for God to be in our lives, opening up room for God to help, opening up space, being vulnerable, saying, yes, yes. At the conclusion of this sermon, I invite you to consider what your yes is, whether that's a spiritual yes, a fiscal yes, a mental yes, or a spiritual yes, or all four. In your pews, there are indeed pledge forms, but there are also these small slips of paper that simply say yes. Perhaps today you would want to drop that slip of paper or your pledge form into the basket by the baptismal font that carries all of our pledge forms. Perhaps you want to keep that piece of paper with you as a reminder of what your yes might be today. Perhaps you simply would like to visit the baptismal font and dip your fingers in the water, renewing your own membership in the family of God. Perhaps you would like to affirm it at this table, opening your heart and your hands to receive the body and blood of Christ. Open today to giving and receiving. Open today to helping and being helped. I would be remiss if I didn't also point out that today is a special day in our parish because we just celebrated with 21 children who dedicated themselves to learning about the Eucharist so that they might, for the first time, receive that holy sacrament with a heart pointed toward God and a mind of God's abundant love for us. Today we witnessed these children, some of whom who have been waiting their entire lives to come up to this table to open their hands and to receive, finally open their hands and receive the body and blood of Christ. Today we get to give and we get to receive. Today we help and we are helped. Friends, whatever your name, however you are named, however you might name yourself, may God's presence be very near to you, very real to you, as you consider your very own yes.